Beloved family and friends, when we come to the marriage relationship, you know that in this world in which we live, there are difficulties in the marriage relationship. There's difficulties on both sides, with the husband, with the wife as well, because of sin. You bring two sinful people together, you are going to have difficulty in any relationship. And yet, the biggest problem that I think that we have, especially as those who profess the name of Jesus Christ, is we don't listen to what God says in His Word. We don't recognize, we don't listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks through this Word about the marriage relationship, and that it's an institution that God Himself has ordained. God ordained the relationship of marriage. God is the one who has created the marriage relationship. And the sole purpose that with the relationship of marriage, the husband and wife, the primary purpose is to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ and His church. How often have you thought about that, you who are married? How often have you thought that your relationship is to glorify Jesus Christ and His church? You husbands, that you are to reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as He ministers to the church which He has redeemed. And you wives, that you are to glorify Christ by being that aspect of the church and submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if we don't follow what God says in His Word, if we're not listening to what God says, you're going to have struggles in your marriage relationship. You're not going to know how to work out the relationship. God has set an order in all things. And our God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of order. And He has ordained for His glory and the good of the marriage relationship and the church of Jesus Christ that the husband would be the head of the household, the head of the wife. And the wife would be the helpmeet. We find that right from the beginning. Women don't like that today. That's God's creation ordinance. Doesn't work any other way. You go contrary to the ordinance which God has implemented in this world, you are going to have great struggles and trials and troubles in your life. So the Apostle Paul, in this text that's before us this afternoon, he gives us things that are essential in the life of how then we can get along with one another, how we can operate in this life of marriage relationship. Not just simply as individuals in the body of Christ, but as in the marriage relationship between husband and wife. How can this relationship of marriage honor God and work in such a fashion that it brings joy to the heart of the individuals in that relationship? And the Apostle Paul, notice he gives these virtues that are essential to a godly marriage, a godly relationship. And the first thing that he begins talking about the elect of God, those called out of the world to be His own, he tells them that they are holy and beloved. And he tells them then, because they are holy and beloved, to put on tender mercies. Mercy is withholding something that is due an individual. For instance, every individual is due the punishment of God, the wrath of God. But because of God's mercy in Jesus Christ, He redeems a multitude to Himself who receive mercy. They don't receive the justice of God. So when it comes to the marriage relationship, we're to be merciful to one another. If you're a Christian, you're here this afternoon as a believer, you're one who is professing faith in Jesus Christ, you have received the mercies of God. And therefore, you are to be one who walks in mercy, extending mercy, and especially in that marriage relationship, that your closest neighbor is your spouse. You are extend mercy to one another, being merciful, being kind, not trying to exact a pound of flesh from each other, but being forgiving and being kind, and that's what he says. Kindness and humility and long-suffering and meekness. These are all the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit that you find in Galatians 5. This is worked in the believer by the Holy Spirit and is seen in practical deeds of kindness. Being kind to one another. Kindness would be seen with the Good Samaritan. The man was kind. He saw someone lying in the ditch. And he went over to help that man. He reached out in kindness towards him. That's to be the relationship. That's to be one of those virtues that lives in the life of the Christian. Reaching out and caring for one another, but especially your spouse, who is your closest neighbor. The humility is not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But think in lowliness. Remembering that it's everything that you have, you've received from the Lord. There's a lot of high-mindedness in the world today. There's a lot of high-mindedness in the church. That we think we've achieved and we've arrived and we've done certain things and God has received us on that basis. God has only received, any that are received by Him are received by the work of Christ and that alone. There is only one way to God and His name is Jesus. And if you don't come that way, if you don't come the prescribed way, you don't come at all. And so you realize that that humbles us. That every one of us in here, every one of us in this world, all 8 billion on this planet, are worthy and deserving of eternal damnation. We're deserving to be cast to hell for all eternity. Because the wages of our sin is death. God's gift is everlasting life. And so we've received mercy. If you're trusting in Christ, you've received the mercy of God. So don't be proud. Don't be arrogant as if you have achieved. You haven't achieved. You haven't created faith in your heart. You haven't of yourself believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit who creates faith in the heart that you might lay hold of Christ and receive all of His benefits. And you think about that in the relationship of marriage. If there is not tender mercies and kindness and that humility towards one another, how will the relationship survive? It will be a constant bickering and fighting and contention and striving. The relationship of marriage as designed by God was never designed to be a competition between a man and a woman. It's a complementary relationship. I like to use the right hand, the left hand. There's always one hand that's dominant, one arm that's stronger. And yet when you look at my hands, they look almost the same. But there's always one that's more dominant. This right hand of mine is no better than my left hand. They complement one another. That's going to be a joyous, harmonious relationship. The apostle goes on and he says, we are called to bear with one another and forgive one another. Bearing long with one another. Not being one who is quick to be angry over little things. You know in your marriage relationship, if you look back on your particular relationship, you will know if you talk with your husband or with your wife that most of the arguments and difficulties in your marriage have been petty little things. Not major things. It seems like the major things, you come together and you work at it. The petty things are the things that you argue and fight about. We pick at one another with regards to petty things of life. And as Paul said to the church in Galatia, that if you continue to pick and bite, and you're going to devour one another. So we've got to be a people that are forgiving and bearing with one another. The forgiveness here is a constant thing. You just think about how when Jesus was speaking with Peter, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? I don't tell you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. It's a life of forgiveness. It's a perpetual forgiving one another in the marriage relationship. Husband comes to the wife, forgive me for that. Forgive me for what I said. Forgive me for how I acted. It's usually the husband that does that. And the wife is to forgive. And when you forgive, you're setting it behind you. As Psalm 103 speaks, that our sins are cast behind the back of God, as it were. That He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. So you forgive one another. Hold on to the virtue of forgiveness. You're going to need it. You want forgiveness. Everybody in here wants forgiveness. But we're not quick to extend forgiveness. And yet that's what we are called to. We are called to be a forgiving people. If there is the repentance in the life, it's a demonstration. That there's a humility. There's a contrition of the heart. And there is the forgiveness granted. It needs to be practiced. If you have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do to one another. So just think about how Christ has forgiven his people. And you are to forgive in the same manner. The Lord no longer holds our sins against us. They have been punished in Jesus Christ. And because they have been punished in Jesus Christ, we confess our sins and we have the confidence that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Paul says, he doesn't stop there with these virtues. As if that wasn't enough, he moves on and he said, but above all these things. You've got all these things, but far above all of these is the virtue of love. If you have abiding love in that relationship, these other virtues will flow out of that. You know, in 1 Corinthians, we think about that, 1 Corinthians 13, now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love never fails. Prophecies and tongues, they will fail, but love never fails. God himself is love. So Paul in Romans 13 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. We have a debt, a duty to love. And so even as we have been loved, we are to strive to love in that manner. Is it difficult? Oh yeah. It's difficult because sin makes us self-centered people. Because of sin, we want to be the center of the universe. Because of sin, we want it all to be about us. And you bring that into the marriage relationship, you have contention, don't you? So it really is, as Jesus said, putting the other person first and becoming a slave, becoming a servant. Jesus said, I am among you who serve. The greatest in the kingdom, he said, is the servant of all. Christ is the greatest. And he comes to serve, not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Going back to the Good Samaritan, when the Good Samaritan helped that man, Jesus said in the same thing with that parable, go and do likewise. Extend your love. Let your love shine in this way. Love is a great, it's a wondrous virtue. John even cries out in 1 John 3, what manner of love is this from God that we should be called the children of the living God? So put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Maturity. Maturity is in love. When you learn to love, when you strive to love, and love is a volition. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2. Love is giving. Loving is setting your affection upon another individual. There are feelings and emotions involved because that's how we're created. But first and foremost, it's a volition. Because when you come up here, and we will witness this afternoon, until death do you part, sometimes it's difficult in the marriage relationship. Sometimes you have difficult problems and it doesn't seem like you can work yourself through it. And yet, here we are, striving until death do we part. Forgiving, loving, because you said so. Because you said you would. We have a problem with that in our culture of just simply keeping our word. Letting your yes be yes and your no, no. It's too much pretense. Too much people shaking hands with one hand and with their other hand, their fingers crossed behind their back. Well, I didn't really mean it. We are, God's people are to be a people that let their yes be yes and their no, no. You mean what you say and you say what you mean. Anything other than that, James says, is from the devil. So we be a people of our word. And this is only going to happen. God's word is going to rule in us, and then we're going to have peace in our hearts. And we're going to be a thankful people. But if the word of God is not ruling in your heart, it all comes down to authority, doesn't it? Are you going to live your life in accordance with the teaching of God's word? Are you going to go your own way and do your own thing? Which is only going to be a heartache and disaster. So the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly with all wisdom. And we're going to teach and instruct one another with the Word of God, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's how we're going to speak. That's how we're going to edify. That's how we're going to resolve issues in the life, is God's Word. When you have a problem in the relationship, where do you go? You go to the Word. What does God say in His Word? He's given us all for life and doctrine in His Word. So we go and we turn to the book. And what does God say about this? How are we to deal with this situation? How are we to move forward in this? How am I to treat you in this situation? Am I to do to you as you do to me? Or am I to do unto others as I would have others do unto me? And you know, that's what Jesus said. You do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But if you're not in the Word, this is not going to happen in your life. The Holy Spirit is not going to be working in your life. If you're a believer and you're not in the Word, you are going to be infantile all of your life long, and you are going to be one who is going to cause problems in the life of the church, because the Holy Spirit works in and through His Word. And if you're not in the Word, it's not happening. And then the virtues are going to be difficult. All of that packed together, you are going to have a God-glorifying relationship. Putting all these together, you are going to have a husband who is going to strive to love his wife. And this is what he says in verse 19, that the husbands are going to love the wives. He's going to strive to love her, to care for her, to protect her. Matthew Henry, an old commentator, once wrote that Eve, when she was created, was not created out of Adam's head to rule over him. She wasn't created out of his feet to be trampled by him. Some of you men in here need to hear that. She wasn't created out of your feet for you to step on her neck, for you to be a tyrant in the relationship. She was out of the side, out of his rib, to be loved by Him, to be cared for by Him, to be protected by Him. And you see the imagery, don't you? Right out of the rib with His arm around her, caring for her. That's why Paul picks up a nourishing and a cherishing aspect when he deals with the marriage relationship in Ephesians 5. That the husband is called to nourish his wife with the water of the Word, to bring her up to maturity with God's Word. And then the cherishing is a warming effect. It symbolically means like a hen putting her chicks under her wings and caring for and protecting and warming in that way. So a husband is to treat his wife. It would seem so silly today to say that out in the world in which we live, because it's so foreign to the thinking of man's mind. It's how far that people have departed from God's Word. And yet it's the only relationship that works. It's the only way that it works. As if the husband strives to love his wife and not be bitter towards her. Being bitter towards her. Maybe she cooks something and it's not to your liking. And you get nasty with her. You say a few nasty words. Maybe she gets pregnant. And as she's pregnant, and then she has a baby, and then maybe the weight doesn't come off as fast as you would like as a husband, and you've got some little barbs that you throw at her, little comments. You get bitter and nasty because, why can't you look like the other women? Well, look, this is the one you married. And you're to nourish and cherish and care for her. Don't be bitter towards her. I don't think I skipped over the wives here. The wives are to be those in submission. This is like a dirty word today. And it's not wives submit to your husband and that's the way it is. It's not that at all. Maybe you've heard it that way. The Greek text, the construction, is no way even infers that. You see, what's happening to here in this afternoon is Amanda is putting herself up under Dustin's authority. As the head of the home, that's what she's doing. She's willingly, voluntarily putting herself up under his authority to be the head in her home. to be the head over her, to protect, to care for, to love, to cherish, to nourish. She has willingly done this, in that when she does this, now continue to practice that, to be up under the headship of your husband. Submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord, in union with the Lord. As a believer, this is what God calls you to be in submission to your husband. Think about those virtues, which are like lubricants, love being that which lubricates all the other ones. But think about that, the submission and the love in the relationship between husband and wife when you have difficulties in your marriage. Think about the times when you come and you have a decision to make and you're at an impasse and you're not in an agreement on it. What do you do? Should she just go her own way and he goes his way? That is not what the Bible teaches. If you get down to the man of things and you work through things and you talk about things and you can't come to an agreement on something, the man has got to cast that final vote. That's God's design. You know, ladies, when does a train run best? When it's on the track or when it's off the track? Did somebody say off the track? A train off the track goes nowhere. And you drive by and you see that and you say this: I wonder when they're going to put that train back on the track so it can do what it was created to do. You were created, ladies, by God Almighty to have a helpmeet responsibility and ministry towards your husband. And when you are on the track, you're running along that track, is when you are most free. You are most enslaved when you are doing contrary to what God has designed the woman to be. Then you're like that train that sits on the side of the track. It goes nowhere. Very clear, very simple. Practice these virtues. The Greek text is the present tense. It means keep on caring for one another, loving one another, being kind to one another, walking in humility, forgiving with one another, bearing with one another. And above all of those things, keep on loving one another. You have to speak that to one another every single day. You have to remind yourself of that commitment of love, that you've set your love on each other. And that God would honor that and strengthen you and guide you through His Word and by His Holy Spirit. And it's only in this way that your marriage is going to be a joyous, wondrous occasion. Keep yourselves focused on Christ. Keep on looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of the faith. I don't care what the world says. The world is lost in darkness and sin. It doesn't have any iota of understanding what a marriage relationship is. You keep your mind stayed upon Christ and you follow after Jesus Christ, the one who redeemed you and the one who calls you to glorify Him in your relationship of marriage. And in this way, you will have a joyous, wondrous marriage relationship that truly is striving to glorify Christ and His church. Amen. Shall we pray?